only one obvious starting point if we want people to know about our beautiful region, and that's Loro di Puglia, the gold of Puglia, otherwise known as olive oil. Tell me, is it true that Puglia has more olive trees than people living in the region?
Yes, of course, Gary. First, I like to tell you that Apulian population has olive oil instead of blood, because it is something that is really important for us. And I can tell you that they estimated that in our wonderful region there are about 60 million of olive trees. And comparing the population that is about 4 million, it means that for each Pugliese has 14 olive trees. But if I have to tell you the truth, I am still looking for who stole my 14 trees, because unfortunately I don't have.
When you say Pugliese, a Pugliese is a person who lives in Puglia.
Of course, Pugliese is the inhabitants of Puglia. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's interesting. Tell me, are olive trees native to Italy? And how many different varieties of olives grow here in Apulia?
Okay, Gary, I think we have to start with a little bit of history about the olive trees. Because as we know, the first olive tree was planted in Greece, not in Italy. The mythology says that Zeus hallowed to Athena to plant one as a symbol of peace and prosperity. I think that it is also important to know that in our region, in Puglia, we used to call the olive trees like the tree of the immortality, because it never died. Do you know what it means, it never died, the olive tree?
I don't know, because everything died. If it's a living thing, it has to die at some point, I would have thought.
Okay, I want to explain you. The meaning that the olive tree can't die, it means that from the same roots you can have a new olive tree. For example, the trunk can die, but not the roots from the seed. I want to say that from the same root, in the river, a new tree, but the roots are the same. It's something wonderful, I think.
Sounds like magic to me, Emilio. Maybe this is why they call it the gold of Puglia.
Yeah. I want to tell you that here in Puglia is really, really difficult to count how many varieties we have, because there are more than 30 different varieties. But I can tell you the most important that we have in our area. For example, we have our Ogliarola Salentina, we have also Cellina variety, Colatina and Leccino. Those four varieties are the most important here where we are.
Okay, so all of the trees that we see around are made up of mainly four different varieties. But tell me, as I'm travelling around Emilio, on my way to the beach and on my way to the bar, maybe on my way to the piazza, wherever I am, I see olive trees. And sometimes I see olive trees with green olives, sometimes the olives are black, sometimes the olives are purple. Can you explain the difference between these different colours? Why are they different colours? And also, a lot of people get confused over the different grades of oil that are available. I mean, you can get virgin oil, you can get extra virgin olive oil, you can get blended oil. Could you very quickly explain to these the people who are listening to us what the main differences are and why these exist and what you would use them for?
Okay, I think that first we have to tell that each variety of olive trees has a different color. Each olive has a different color and as well a different harvest time. For that, the harvest season starts in our region at the beginning of October and can finish at the end of March. It means that we have 6 months of harvest of olives. I like also to tell you that a secret. Are you ready to know it, Gary?
When you tell me you want to tell me a secret, I start to worry, but as long as it's suitable for broadcast, go ahead.
Okay. When we talk about the quality of the olive oil, we have to talk about the acidity. Because the acidity is really important to understand if we have a good olive oil or not. For example, from 0 to 0.8 of the acidity, we have Olio Evo Gust, that it is our extra virgin olive oil. And for sure, this is the best olive oil that you can find everywhere. Then, from 0.8 to 2 degrees of acidity, we have virgin olive oil, Olio Vergine di Olivo Gust. And then, from 2 degrees, it is better to don't use such kind of oil, because it's lamp oil, and for sure it is not eatable, such kind of oil.
So the oil is of such a poor standard, you would use it to light your lamp, rather, you wouldn't want to eat that.
Yeah, maybe you can just fill your lighter with such kind of oil, but you have to burn some.
Excellent.
I was telling you about the secret. The secret is that this is something that I think our listeners, they don't know, and I like to explain. For example, do you know that from the same olive trees, you can have different quality of olive oil?
No way. How can that be possible?
It is possible because it depends how you pick the olives and when you pick the olives. Because, for example, if we pick the olives directly from the tree at the beginning of October, when we can see that the olives are half green, half black, are not completely purple, we can tell like this, and we press on the same day, and this is really important, for sure we can have olio extra virgin di oliva, the best quality. If the same olives we leave and we wait until they will fall down on the nets that we used to put under the olive trees, for sure the acidity will go up. The acidity goes up, and then we can't have the best quality of the olive oils. Also, if we press on the same day, but like this, for sure the acidity will go up, and then the quality is completely different.
Is that just because for the extra virgin, the olives are picked off the tree by hand? And the acidity increases when they land on the earth, on the floor.
For sure. The first mistake is to leave the olives on the floor, because it's full of bacteria, of course. Mm-hmm. And then also, one olive can fall today, the other one can fall in 10 days. It means that they don't have the same age, like this.
Uh-huh.
And also, it is really, really important to use a cold press. It means that when they press the olives, they can't, for example, press more than 26 degrees. And this is really important for us.
26 degrees air temperature.
The temperature, yes, of the machine that presses the
olives. Okay.
Press the olives.
Ah, that's really interesting. It reminded me of something, Emilio, which I wanted to ask you, but we didn't have time because we were with guests, but... just last week, we visited a wonderful, fantastic, what we call in the UK, a farm. He had some amazing cattle and calves, and there were geese running around and goats and sheep. But this guy on this farm produced ricotta and cacciocavallo cheese and great meats and etc. But he also was very passionate about olive oil. And he said a story that people here in Puglia, they feel if people visit their house for a chat or just for a visit, it's important to offer a choice of olive oils on the table. Whereas maybe in the UK we would give a cup of tea and four different types of biscuit. Is this the same here? He said you have to offer maybe a fruity olive oil and maybe a picante spicy oil or a mild oil. What's the reason you say in this story?
I'm really happy that you noticed this, because this is really important for us, because sometimes when you go at the restaurant, they offer a list of different kind of wine, they offer also a list of different kind of water.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Still sparkling with salty or not salty, something like that. In Puglia, the culture of the olive oil is really important, because it depends on what we are going to do or what we are going to dress with our olive oil. We have a selection, a huge selection of olive oil on our table. It means not less than three different types of olive oils. For example, when we want to add some extra virgin olive oil, for example, on a soup or maybe to a salad or some fresh, you know, a frizza, you know, our typical frizza, our typical bread with some drops of olive oil, for sure.
We'll have to explain more about frizza in a later episode. About that. But yes, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, sorry for that. I'm spoiling. Anyway, I was telling that in this case, for sure, when we have to use a fresh olive oil, we can use extra virgin, of course, olive oil. And, for example, Coratina variety, because it is really, really good for such kind of food. When, for example, we have to fry some cheese or something like that, we can use also virgin olive oil instead of extra virgin olive oil, and for sure, oleanola variety. For example, if we have fish on our table, we can use another kind of olive oil that can be lecino. In this case, you have a choice of olive oil depending on what you are going to eat. And this is really important for us.
So it seems there's as many different olive oils as there are wines. Anyway, I heard that living in this area, that people live longer in Puglia than anywhere else in the world. I'm told there are many, many centenarians still to be found, sunbathing on the beaches throughout the summer months and working in the Campania, in the countryside during the winter months. The story is they live so long simply because every morning when they get out of bed and every evening before they go to bed, they drink a cup of olive oil. Is that true?
Of course, this is true. I want to tell you that a good olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, for sure not what you can find in the big market, helps our health. And for many reasons. I can give you some examples. For example, extra virgin olive oil contains antioxidants that reduce the risk of the chronic disease and the inflammation as well. I want to tell you something more. It helps to prevent strokes. It protects against heart disease. It fights Alzheimer's disease and obesity as well. For this, we are really team in Italy, you know, Gary. Not me.
I think fighting of Alzheimer's might be a good enough reason for many people. Once we come through this COVID, we should all get involved with olive oil much more intimately.
Maybe. It reduces also all the diabetes risks. And the most important thing concerning olive oil is that specifically our olive oil has a very important anti-cancer properties. Wow. And this is really, really, really important. I can tell that the 60% of the risk is fight by our olive oil.
Wow, that's amazing to know. Okay, that's really interesting because I recall speaking to somebody, again, probably in a bar or in the theatre, and they were explaining to me that the big players in olive oil in Puglia have a contract with the NHS in the UK, and we supply, when I say we, I'm talking about Pugliese because I'm an honorary Pugliese these days, we supply the United Kingdom, the NHS, with our olive oil, and it's given on a daily basis to patients to help boost their immune systems, to boost their vitamins and mineral counts. This is an effort to make people better by using our superb Pugliese olive oil. Okay, let's move away from the medicinal and the health benefits onto more about how important and the history of olives in Puglia is. It would be obvious to every single person, the people who live here and people from outside the country who arrive in Puglia, they may fly into Bari or they may fly into Brindisi on their transfer from the airport to wherever they're staying, they will most certainly see more olive trees in a half an hour than they would have seen in the rest of their lives put together. But what I've noticed in Milan, driving around the country, is sometimes I'll see an olive grove and the olive trees are planted in very strict patterns, almost 2 meters apart, like almost as if they're on a grid. And then 2 minutes later, I looked on the other side of the road, and there's another massive olive grove. But in this one, the trees just seem to be all over the place, like somebody has just scattered the seeds randomly, and they're just growing everywhere. What's going on there?
This is an interesting observation from you, and I can tell you that to give an answer to this question, we need to jump to the Roman age. And the Roman way to plant the olive trees was in a straight row, and the distance throughout each tree was less or more 60 feet. It should be about 18 meters, if I am not mistaken. Romans were really smart, were really clever, because they understood how it is rocky, our soil, and they gave the right space, the right distance between the trees, in order to give the right space to the roots, the olive tree's roots, the space to find and to pick the water from underground. They gave such kind of distance between the trees. What they don't understand right now.
Okay, another thing I've noticed, Emilio, about these olive trees, they're really twisted and gnarled trunks. They're very, very interesting. We have many kind of artists and painters here, and everybody paints the trunks of the olive trees because they're so, so interesting. An old man I met in Ostuni a few years ago was telling me about the history of the olive trees and why the trunks are like they are. I think he may have been winding me up or having a playing a little joke on me, because he told me that the reason the trunks are so twisted is that when the Roman soldiers were looking for some wood to build a cross to crucify Jesus, all of the trees that they passed were olive trees, and they all twisted themselves into knots so that they would appear to be unsuitable to use for carpentry purposes to make a cross. I saw a little glint in his eye and a little laugh to himself as he was telling me this story. He also explained maybe the scientific reason would be that the trees very slowly turn throughout the season to follow the moon through the night sky. So I've got like a legend reason, that maybe a more scientific reason. What's your opinion on that?
Okay. To tell you, in order to tell you the answer, I like to take an example that it is a small olive trees close to Ostuni, our city.
Yeah.
And we used to call this olive trees the granddad.
Like a nonno?
No, not that, right. Do you know how old is this tree, Gavin? Just tell me. What do you think?
Well, looking at it, I reckon it's really, really old. Maybe 100, 120 years, something like this.
Oh, no. This tree is 2,500 years old.
No way.
Yes. They did some analysis, the carbonium 14 analysis, in order to understand the age. They analyzed the wood, the dry wood inside the trunk. And we are sure that it is 2,500 years old. And this tree twisted twice, the trunk twisted twice.
Mm-hmm.
The scientific reason for that is that the olive trees follows the rotation of the earth. And in order to be 2,500 years old, you can understand that it complete twice the rotation of the earth.
Right.
And this is wonderful. I can tell you that our nono, our granddad, still produce 40 kilograms of olives per year.
Wow.
Amazing.
Ah, okay. These 2,500 years old is pretty old, Emilio. That must be like, you know, that's long before even Christ was born. So that's amazing and spectacular. Can you tell me, because another thing I've noticed is they have, some of these trees have like a little plaque or a silver badge attached. There's some silver ones, some white ones, I'm not sure, with just a number on them. I thought maybe it's a phone number or something. What are the badges?
Okay, first I want to tell you that our olive trees, they know more language than us, because in 2,500 years years old, for sure they know Arabic, they know French, they know English,
yeah.
And maybe other kind of Latin, Latin as well, for
yeah,
sure.
For sure.
And about the plug, yes, we have two different kind of plugs. You can find all the gray one, the metallic one, we can tell, on or the white wine. The white wine is just a serial number that the university in Bari gave to our monumental olive trees. It means all the trees that they are more than 500 years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And in Puglia we have more than 2 million olive trees. Yeah. The gray is not a label, it's a microchip.
Ah, okay.
Because it is the way, a satellite way, we can tell. There is a satellite system in order to check the biodiversity of the olive trees and if there is any disease or and if everything is fine or not to our olive trees. This is the reason of the label and the microchip.
Wow. Well, thank you for explaining that because I was imagining all sorts of stories relating to those badges. Speaking to people who live in and around the town where we both live, Ostuni, lots of people, they don't seem to have lots and lots of money, but they all seem to have at least 2 houses, maybe a house in the town, and another house out in the countryside. And it seems to me that most families that I speak to, of an older generation, always have these country houses where they would have a number of olive trees, sometimes 80, sometimes 50, sometimes up to 120 olive trees on their, growing in their country house. And in the summer they go there and they work the land and so on. And it seems that most families produce quite a lot of their own olive oil. And then they tell me that they use this olive oil maybe to pay bills. If they have a labourer come to paint their house, they'll pay him in olive oil. Or they'll trade it for some wood for their fireplace for the winter. Is this true? It's like an old-fashioned barter system. Does this still happen?
What is important to know is that here each family produces olive oil. It's really difficult to find a family that doesn't produce olive oil. It's a part of our history, it's a part of our tradition, it's a part of our life. And also, we are really jealous about the olive oils. For example, if your neighbor produces olive oil as well,
yeah,
you can have a trouble with him because for who produces the best olive oil.
So there's like a competition because it's the best. Yeah.
Right, it's like a competition, and it is really nice to think when there is the harvest time that we don't use any extra workers or extra staff. We used to call all the relatives of the family to pick the olives because this is the way to how to produce the olive oil. And instead to give some money, we used to give 10, 15 liters of olive oil to the guy that comes just to help the relatives.
Okay. Yeah. Like wages.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. It's a great example of families working together for their own good. And I understand now when you say that Pugliese people don't have blood, they have olive oil running through their veins and through their heart. Tell me, in your experience, because you've lived here all of your life, Emilio, who, in your opinion, produces the best, the very, very best olive oil in this region? For example, if the Queen of England wanted some olive oil, where would we buy that oil from to send to her? And can you explain very briefly how it is made, the process from the picking the olive off the tree? How does that olive off the tree become this gold, beautiful, smooth oil? And is it possible if people come here, can we go and see this process happening?
You know, it's not easy to answer to this question because what I can tell you is my uncle that is the best producer.
but you have to be very honest.
But I should be honest. I think one of the best producers is like a family company that they produce a small quantity of is Masseria Brancati, and it is an experience just to visit them, because you can understand all the process, and also how they produce olive oil in the past, because there is a wonderful underground oil mill built 2,000 years ago, and then they have all the different age of the production of the olive oil there, with all the different mills. You should come and you should see by yourself, because you know it is wonderful just to understand how it changed the production of the olive oil during the different ages, because we started to produce lamp oil, now we produce a wonderful extra virgin olive oil in our small farm. But what is really important to understand also, when you go and you buy a bottle of olive oil in the market, is to check the label and to understand if it is written where this olive oil is produced. Because if it is written from the olive oil produced in different countries or in Europe, it means that you don't know what you are going to buy.
Ah, so it'd be like a blend of different quality just to get the quantity?
Yeah, of course. Rectify olive oil, and for sure a little bit of extra virgin olive oil.
Because, for example, if you owned a Ferrari or a Maserati, you wouldn't buy the cheapest engine oil to keep that running well, would you?
Of course. And this is really important.
Wow, that's incredible information. Emilio, thank you so much. We've been chatting for maybe nearly half an hour, but I think I've learned more from you in that half an hour than I did in the 12 years that I went to school, to be honest. It should be obvious when you hear the passion in Emilio's voice and the importance of olive oil to this region. It should be obvious to you how wonderful and how special that product is. And we could talk about it forever, and you could re-listen to this podcast 25 times, but you'll only get the real magic of it if you come to Bari, come to Brindisi. You can fly straight to both of these airports from anywhere in the world. Come and see us, and we'll take you, and you'll see and smell and taste the real, real magic of Pugliese olive oil. Emilio, thank you for all of your knowledge and wisdom on that subject, and your passion and enthusiasm. Tell me, what do you think we should talk about in the next episode of our podcast?
First, I want to tell you that me, but also all of our monumental olive trees are waiting for you, just to share with you this experience, this part of our tradition that is really important.
Yeah.
And I think the next topic can be for sure the wine.
Yeah. I think a glass of wine is definitely the way to go. We'll talk about that next week. So listen, make some notes. Just remember www.apulianexperience.com for all the information. Any comments that you wish to make on this podcast or anything to do with Italy or Puglia, please leave a message or a comment in the comments box. Get in touch, get involved. We'd love to hear from you. It'll make our jobs even more pleasant, even though we love what we do. Next time, the best subject in the world, white wine, red wine, rosato wine, and I'm sure that will go on just as long as this one. Please enjoy, make some notes, and get involved. Thanks, Emilio. See you next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.